See, that was back in the day, that was the thing. Looked like the guys all had purses. But now we have this. It's a whole lot smaller. And you could do a whole lot more with it. That first one, all you could do is phone calls. We thought we was high tech when we first got pagers. But you see, things change. You don't in society and in the world. If you go buy a new phone today, probably within a couple weeks it'll be outdated. That's how fast they change and stuff. But as I was preparing for this service, I was reminded of some things that happened recently that when we look at natural things that we go through and things that we do and compare it to spirit things in God and what God has in store for us and where He's trying to take us, we could understand why the church is in the shape it's in. But I was reminded today I was in Denham Springs and I had to go and look at a house when I was up there working. And I called the lady. I said, "Look, I'm about to come over. Can you text me your address?" And she did. So I put it in my GPS and you could take that off. GPS told me I was so many miles and 17 minutes away. So I told her, I said, "I have it in my GPS. I'm headed your way." Said, "My GPS said I'll be at your house in 17 minutes. She said, "That's exactly right." So I'm going and taking the turns it says take. And I get down the main stretch of road. And it says destination ahead on the left. Well, when I looked to the left, there was a fence. There was no more road there. So I passed it up and figured if I pass it up, it's going to reroute and take me the way I'm supposed to go. So I went and it said, "Make a U-turn." So I went back. Coming back, it says destination ahead on right. I can see it on my GPS. But because I hadn't been there before, couldn't figure out how to go around to get to where I had to be, even though I was only 50, 60 feet from it. But a 17-minute ride turned out to be an hour. Who wants to say why? Who thinks they know why? The reason is I didn't want to call and say I was lost. And how often we find ourselves in that position in God needing some help and needing direction. But we're scared to say it. We're too prideful to say that we need some help. The sad thing is, the third time I turned around, it was right by the road I should have went down to get there. And when finally I called and said, "Hey, I passed your house four times, and I don't know how to get there." And she said, "Oh, that road hadn't been there for 20 years. Well, somebody needs to tell my GPS that. But see, the first time I passed, if I'd have called, it wouldn't have took an hour to get there. And how many times we go through things, or we need direction, and we'll just keep going around in circles and not ask for it. But see, in that hour, there was some frustration. You know, when you're passing and it's right there and you can't figure out how to get there, it causes frustration. It causes you to have to go around in circles. But instead of getting frustrated, if we'll go to somebody and say, "Hey, I'm having this problem today." You know, and a lot of times as I was getting ready, the Lord reminded me of all the times that there was something I needed in God's Word. And in a course of someone speaking, it said, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, "There it is, that's what you need. You need to apply this." But then, after the Spirit spoke that, the Lord stopped me for a moment. He said, "How many times," and I want you to hear me tonight, "how many times something said through God's Word, but because it didn't come from the speaker we thought it should have come from, we didn't receive it?" If it's God's Word, it's God's Word. It don't matter who says it. They're being led by God's Spirit. We need to receive it and apply it. But I was also reminded, and I'm going to talk tonight about a GPS. Because if we use them properly, it'll get us where we need to go. You know, I was thinking about going out. It's foggy, raining, and dark. But what I done on a clear day, I marked the line and I saved it. So I knew if I stay on that line, it would get me from point A to point B. But you got to trust it. You got to trust it. And in order to stay on the line, can you lose focus? If you lose focus, you get off the line. You have to maintain control of your vessel. We were coming in and I said, "You know, it's dark, it's foggy, and it's raining, so let me go slow." And what that does, you don't have complete control, so you do this. So what I done, I had to speed up to get control. And I knew if I stay on that line. But see, on that line, every so far, I had a mark. And that mark told me I'm about to pass a pylon. I had Christopher with me one night, and we were doing the same thing. And I heard when he hollered, "There's a pylon right there." I said, "I know, because it's marked on this line." And I marked it on purpose because I knew when I got to that mark, that was a row of pylons I would go through. And I also knew, because I'd done it on a crystal clear day, if I stayed on that line. But you see, I had to put every bit of my trust in a piece of equipment that some man made. But then, our Savior, think about it, Jesus, not one of his servants, not one of his followers, but he said, "Follow me." But you know what he done? He left a thin, well-defined line. And we have to learn how to stay on it. But we got to maintain control of the vessel. We're the vessel. And in order to stay on that line, we need to keep control of that vessel and keep focused on that line. And if you look in God's Word, you know, several things happen, and I'm just going to take off where I was the last time I spoke. When Peter denied Jesus. Talk about the same Peter that got out the boat and he sank. But he realized he was sinking and he called out on God. He denied him three times. But Matthew says that after he realized what he'd done, he went out and he wept bitterly. In other words, he went and repented. Think about it. You go to the next verse, the next chapter 27, the one that betrayed Jesus hung himself. Judas. Why? Because in his betraying, he lost sight of that fine line. All he had to do is repent. Was it God's will for him to hang himself? I don't believe that. If he'd have repented, he could have been right back where he should have been in God. But he chose to just take his own life. See, a lot of things that we go through is because of choices we make. It's because of decisions we make. It's because of losing sight of the spot we should be focused on to get to. So it caused us to go around and to be set off track and before we get to the final destination, we find ourselves miles away from where we should be. See, if I call you for help, I need to first have the right mindset that I'm going to trust what you tell me. You know, I'm not going to call somebody to help me if my boat's sinking, if they don't know how to stop a boat from sinking. You got to call somebody that knows what they're doing. And how many times we go through things serving God, and instead of going to the source, we go to somebody that's got it worse than we do. So therefore, we find both of us off course. We find both of us swaying back and forth. You see, even in the midst of denial, in the midst of saying, I don't know, Jesus. You know, I'm pretty sure Peter was a pretty brave guy. You know, if you're going to get out the boat and walk on the water, you got to have some faith. You got to be pretty brave. You got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the one that's telling you to come can keep you afloat. But also, on the other hand, you got to keep your eyes focused on the one telling you to come. But then when it came time, after Jesus told him, he said, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me three times. Bible says a young girl. So there, he's one of them. He was with Jesus, and he said, I don't know him. Then again, another young girl. And he said, I don't know the man. Then the crowd came and said, yeah, you wanted him. We could tell by your accent. We could tell by how you act. Tell by what you do and by the reactions of your body, by what you're saying. The Bible says he cursed. He says, I don't know him. Then the cock crew. Then he went out and he wept bitterly and he repented because he realized what he'd done. You know, and I don't believe that we end up in places that we end up because we didn't realize what we'd done. It's because we realize what we'd done, but we fail to repent. We fail to go to somebody and say, hey, I'm having trouble here. Listen, if you got 30, 40 people in one building, and I'm going through something, they got to be somebody out of that 30 or 40 people that I should trust enough to say, go to them and say, hey, I'm going through it and I need some help. But we also need to be careful, because what happens to get the real help, you got to go to the Word. But then the Word probably at that moment, you know, if I go to Pastor Charlotte and say, look, I'm having trouble, and she goes to the Word, probably the Word is not going to completely line up with the position my life's in at that time. But I have to be willing, because I'm looking for help and I'm looking for truth, to line myself up to what God's Word says. You know, it ain't what I think. It ain't what you think. But it's what God's Word says. And I was reminded about the first time we ever got a pager. Many of you remember those. When the pager went off, the problem was there was no phone around. So then you had to go find the phone. I think I was on my way to Thomaston the very first time when I used the last payphone in America. You know, we had cell phones, and right when the GPS got us lost, the phone service quit. It was our first time. We didn't know when we got there we'd lose phone service for a week. I took the wrong turn, and it just so happened we found the last working payphone in America, and we were able to use it. I said, I don't know how to get where I need to go, but if you'll tell me. So we made that phone call. Tell me how to get there. So we had to write down directions. See, I had to trust the directions I got would get me where I needed to be. But we also have to be careful what we put our trust in. You know, I look around and just... On Sunday, I had a whole lot of time to just sit there and think. Just ask some questions to the Lord. And the Lord just began to show me some things. Began to just take me back to some things that, you know, we'll change our schedule. You know, sometimes the Lord lays things on your heart and you don't really want to go there. But when He continues to do it, you just got to obey God. You know, we'll look for ways and try to make a way and find ways to do what's appealing to the natural. We'll cancel stuff to go and do what's appealing to the natural body. But what about when it comes to the spirit man? The most important part of our body. I'm talking about the man on the inside of us that's going to determine our position in God, what our destination's going to be. Now, how many of you has ever been traveling and you're doing 65, 70 mile an hour and all of a sudden it comes to a stop? You know, I remember coming home from Baton Rouge one night and I had AJ sitting in my truck and traffic just stopped. We got going just to as slow as slow can go. And the guy beside me, he jumps out the van, throws his hands up in the air, he gets back in the van, he's blowing his horn, he's screaming, he's on the phone, he gets out the van. I said, AJ, if I reach down in this compartment right here, duck. Because if he gets too carried away, I'm shooting him. I mean, this guy was going nuts. It was the day that they was trying to talk the guy out of jumping off the bridge after he shot a cop. And AJ looks at me and says, you can wave your hands, you can scream and holler, and you can blow your horn, but you still ain't going nowhere. So after 15, 20 minutes of that, I said, kind of feels like I'm fishing out a rig, because every now and then I hear a horn go off. But we still ain't moving. See, it don't matter. I mean, we stayed there for a long time. But it didn't change who God was. It didn't change the fact, you know, you can't turn around and go back. You don't turn around and go back where you started just because you run into traffic. But what you do is you stay focused on the fact, I'm coming down to Plaquemine Parish, down to Burris, and then down to Boothville, and you got to stay focused on that point of where you're going. And no matter what we go through, no matter how alone we might feel, we got to stay focused on a fact that we're going to be a part of God's kingdom one day, and we're going to be in His kingdom where He wants us, and we can't lose focus because a situation came up. Because God's bigger than any situation we'll ever go through. Listen. How many of us have ever been sick? I've been sick before, but it didn't change who God was. And there's times that I've been sick that I couldn't be in church. But still, you have to take time out. You know, if me and my wife's off somewhere and it's a Saturday night, she'll look at me and say, We try to do the Torah portion about the same time everybody else is. You know, and it makes a difference. Because you're thinking, okay, I'm in another state somewhere, but our church is listening to the Torah portion and we're doing the same thing they're doing. We might not be together, but there's a connection through God's Spirit. And it helps you stay focused. It helps you come to a realization we can't lose focus and we can't lose trust in who God is. See, and I've used this several times before. If we could start trusting God the way we trust man, you know, I've bought a lot of new vehicles, and I ain't never once went to the car lot and said, "Let me go raise the hood and make sure they got an engine in here." I always trusted when I got in after the guy handed me the key to had an engine, and then it would start. See, God lays a path down, and we want to go through His Word and try to figure out a way around it. There's no way around it. It's a straight and narrow path, and it's the only way to Him. The only way to get to the kingdom of God is through His Word. Through the blood of Jesus. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't blame everybody else. Listen, He didn't get halfway to the cross and say, "Okay, Father, I'm not going because Peter just denied me 3 times. I'm not going because Judas betrayed me." But He said, "Not my will, Your will." And it's so important to stay in the will of God. You know, I tell people all the time in the boat world, especially those ones that think they're a captain, they want to take off with a radar and a GPS and you can't see the front of the boat. And I'll tell them, if you don't trust these 2 pieces of equipment, best thing you can do is stay tied to the dock. Now, I never forget, I was at Venice Marina standing in a boat, waiting to inspect a boat one day. And the guy pulls up and launches his boat, and he passes right beside me and says, "Where's Tiger Pass?" I said, "Really? You serious?" "Yeah, well," I said, "buddy, the best thing you could do is turn around and go put your boat back on the trailer because you're about to get lost. If you don't know where Tiger Pass is, you have no business being in that boat driving. Because somebody's going to have to go find you." Go charter you a boat somewhere. See, it's sometimes people jump into those situations and they're not prepared for it. You know, sometimes we tell God a whole lot of things and we're not prepared to walk the walk He lays before us. How do we get prepared? Through His Word. Through what He says. Through the way He leads us and guides us. But we got to let Him be our strength. We got to let Him be our way maker. Because it's all about God's kingdom and who God is, and be a part of what God wants. But we got to be willing to stay focused. You know, I don't understand. And how is it so hard with the word that we receive here for people to stay focused? Because I could tell you, not in the last few months, for years, the Word of God has been powerful. But you see, sometimes correction hurts. Sometimes correction hurts. See, we want the chocolate cake with the vanilla ice cream. You ever been sitting at home after supper or after dinner and somebody says, I sure like to have some ice cream? When it's set at my house, I'll just look and say, well, this is a family deal. Let's just all go to the store. Well, I don't want to go to the store. Well, see, and that's kind of like wanting to be a part of God's kingdom, but we don't want to do what the Word says. Of course, if it's your wife, she kind of looks at you with them little googly eyes she looked at you with when you first met her, and you end up going to the store by yourself and get the ice cream. So you got it to have the chocolate cake, you got to be willing to mix it. You got to be willing to put it all together, mix it, and bake it. It don't just happen. I mean, you can go to the store and buy one, but it ain't going to taste the same. Probably won't be right. Which the best chocolate cake I ever had was one somebody else took the time to make. See, for me to get to where God wants me in His kingdom, somebody else can't do it for me. I got to be willing to sweat it out. I got to be willing to stick it out. I got to be willing to walk the path He lays before me. And you know, it's my path might not be your path. I might not go through some things that you go through. But no matter what I go through or you go through, my Bible says that He would never put more on me than I could bear. He would be with me till the end. See, sometimes for Him to be with me, there has to be some correction in my life. Sometimes correction don't feel good. But I'd rather get some correction and be who God wants me to be and make it to His kingdom than to not get correction and I'll end up lost, undone without God. See, we got to stay focused. You know, and really, if you look at it and you compare our spiritual walk, not always you're going to completely, clearly see the first time you read something what it says. But you got to go back. And sometimes you got to go back. Sometimes you got to go back. But go and read and listen. I know I've heard it many times. Well, you know, I went and I just don't see it. Well, did we go where the Spirit led us? You know, many times I was woke up in the wee hours of the morning. How many times I'd be doing something and all of a sudden the Spirit of God would say, go here and read this. And see, we'll go, the Spirit of God will speak to us and say, go to John chapter 1. And we'll read it. And where we need to be careful is when we read it, most of the time we think it's for somebody else. Do you know how many times it was what I needed at that moment to get me in a place I needed to be for the next person I had to help. To get me in a place I needed to be to know what to say. To know how to say it. And to know when to not say it. You know, I made this statement in a staff meeting. Sometimes it's not what we do. It's what we don't do. Because listen, I'll promise you, if we'll go back and check, before every trial, there was always a moment or a time God in His Word got His Word to us. Not always did we partake of it. Not always did we apply it. But He got His Word to us that would see us through that trial. But we got to be willing to grab a hold of it and apply it and use it. His Word's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So if God makes a statement about His Word like that, I don't have to go to Pastor Jesse and say, should I use God's Word? I should be able to take that statement made and understand if I follow His Word, it could change a whole lot of things in my life. But am I willing for the change, to make the change? Because see, sometimes if I'm going to the left or to the right, and I go to God's Word and it goes to, you know, I got to be willing to straighten out sometimes. Sometimes we got to change directions. Sometimes we got to change the area that we're in and go where God says. See, it's important to go where God says. You know, and I'm going to share this in closing. You know, we kind of thought that 5 days a week for the next year, you know, that I would be in Baton Rouge the whole time. And if that's what God wanted, it would have been fine. And, you know, I spent some time up there and found out, you know, I believe that we'll be going back. Probably not for a long period of time each time, but I'll be going back, you know, here and there doing some work. But it sounded good. But just because it sounds good don't mean it's God's will. You got to know when to go and when to leave. You got to go know when to talk and when to shut up. You got to know when to walk and when to stop. And I could tell you, if we will slow down and listen, God will direct our path. Clearly direct our path. But we can't get focused on I want without knowing what God's will is. Because just because I want don't mean it's God's will. And a lot of times our wants gets us in trouble. And then we call on God trying to figure out how we're going to get out of it. You know, and I got the phone call and they made offers. And when the offer was made, God said no. He said, the first thing he said was, you can't be who I called you to be and be run by an organization. Of course, you get these looks like, what did you just say? God's not going to be run by an organization. And if we're following Him, we can't be run by an organization. We got to be run by the leadership of His Spirit in His Word. And I could tell you, and I got a phone call today, and I think after the phone call today, I probably was blocked out of that. I was taken off the phone list. Because a statement was made And I just gave the answer. You know, one thing, you can't try to do stuff and forget the real reason you're there. You know, because I made a statement in a meeting with probably 7 pastors and 6 or 7 other people. It's a whole bunch of them. And the statement was, rebuilding people's house is important. The most important thing is being led by the Spirit of God and speak God's word and help rebuild spiritual lives. It's way more important than rebuilding a natural house. Of course, when you got that look at me attitude, that kind of don't go over with the group. I knew God had me there for a reason. But then a statement was made after by the leader. Well, I kind of never thought about all of that. Well, maybe that's kind of why the group's in the condition it's in. Because we're leaving the most important person out, and that's God, by the leadership of His Spirit. Don't matter what we're doing, we got to be led by His Spirit. Whether we're fishing for a living, or whether we're working on a job, being led by God's Spirit is important. To know what to say at the time we need to say it. And how to say it. Because we could speak God's word, and it can be a correcting word, but do it through the leadership of God's Spirit, and it'll change a life. It'll cause somebody to come to a realization they need to accept Jesus as their Savior. See, that's the important thing, is being led by His Spirit. Staying and maintaining control of ourself so that we can follow the leadership of God's Spirit through His Word. Sometimes we get to running wild. Oh my. Running wild ain't going to help us. We need to slow down a little bit and stay focused. You know, and I thank God for His word. Because let me tell you something. Let the computer crash. Let the phone crash. You're going to know about it if Facebook crashes. Because the whole world is going to be in trouble. But all of those things can crash. But God's word will always be the same. God will never change. He will always be God. You know, and one last thing. I was also reminded of what it was to be who God called us to be before all this technology. Listen, we were teenagers. But we had to learn how to trust God. Because not everybody had a phone. Sometimes in order to talk to the pastor, you had to go to the church. Sometimes in order to talk to somebody that was serving God with you, you had to go to their house. You just didn't pick up the cell phone and call them. Thank God for technology. And I think about Brother Preston and Uncle Jesse. They first got them phones, and they was talking about how far away they could talk. And I was way down a river. He was in Venice and we was talking. See, it was different. See, it's amazing how things change. See, me, Sister Connie, Sister Lynn, and Pastor Jesse, Pastor Charlotte, we could tell you what it's like to be in a living room praying, and there's a... It don't matter how long they knock. You only got up one time to answer the door if you was in prayer. Because the next time you was praying and somebody knocked, you remember what happened when you got up the first time. When you were finished praying, you went and answered the door. Because if it was important enough for them to come, it's going to be important enough for them for you to finish praying before you let them in. You only answered the door the first time, and that was it. And people knew after that first time, because there was a glass door. And if you was around that coffee table praying, they either snuck in and came pray with you or they left. Because it meant something. It wasn't just some pass me by, we're going to spend a little time with Jesus moment. It was serious. Serving God and spending time in prayer was serious. See, we got so much technology. We got it so easy now that those serious moments has a tendency of just passing away. See, God wants to spend time with us. You know, it makes so much difference, because you could be out there working and all of a sudden the Spirit of God will show up. Be driving down the road or driving that boat. And sometimes you just got to stop what you're doing for a few moments and acknowledge His presence. Just let Him know. Appreciate you being here. You're so awesome. You're so amazing. Look, we knew what it was. You know, you talk about, Pastor talks sometimes about these old songs. You know, and the youngsters nowadays just kind of look at you. You can't even hardly find it on the radio no more, them old songs. They just don't have the beat that they have now. But what it had was words that taught you how to trust God. You know, I remember times when you went through things, all you had was reach out and touch the Lord. See, now we go through things and we dial the number, and if somebody don't answer, we think, well, we just, oh, well, no. One thing about it, when we dial God's number, He's going to answer. I might not answer my phone. I might not hear it ring. You don't know the times that we go on somewhere and my wife says, your phone's ringing. See, God hears it every time we call. And He desires, He wants to spend time with us. And all we got to do most of the time is just slow down and say, okay, Lord, here I am. Just take some time out. And let Him love on us. Let Him be our strength. Let Him teach us how to trust Him. Because let me tell you something. If all this technology in the world crashes tomorrow, this right here will never return void. It'll never change. God will always be the same. His Word will always be there. Whether we have it wrote in the palm of our hand or not, He clearly tells us, hide His Word in our heart. They can come and take this Bible, but what we have right here, they can't take from us. So we need to prepare ourselves. No matter where we are, whether we can reach out and grab a Bible or not. Now, I can't tell you how many Bibles we have. I think I have two in my truck. Of course, you ever go to church somewhere where you hadn't been in a long time? And you walk in and they say, you preaching? And you say, well, lend me your Bible. You'll learn to put one or two in your truck. Well, now we just reach on and grab our phone and it's right there. But you got to watch where you go, because some people get their little feelings hurt because you don't have a real Bible and it's on a computer. Look, if it's God's Word, it's God's Word. But there's no reason to walk the walk without God, because He's always there. We just got to open up and find time and room for it. It's just simple. Got to find time and room for it. Look, if you do a lot of traveling, leave some space. Because at a time that you think not, He just shows up. He just shows up. Says, hey, here I am. You know, it ain't nothing like driving down the interstate and the Spirit of God's with you. I can't afford for Him to leave. So my wife asks me all the time, what are you looking at? Because I'm looking off in the field somewhere. So thank God that when she's not there, watching where I'm going, He is. But look, let's start trusting God as much as we trust what man does. You ever heard somebody talk about something? Well, I seen it on the news. So whoopee-doopee-doo. 90% of it ain't truth. But then we get God's Word. We don't want it just told to us. We want it shown to us. Well, He shows us every day. Every breath we take, every time we wake up, look around. I see God's creation every day, every place I look. I can just walk outside. I don't even have to go to God's Word. I could walk outside and know there's a God. But how real He is to me is how real I allow Him to be. How close I am to Him is how close I want to be. And He should be the closest thing we have. There ain't no person or nothing in this world that should be able to separate us from our Father. Nothing. So let's just find us some time. Next time somebody comes up to you and they mumbling and grumbling, just give them some word. Because mumbling and grumbling right with them ain't going to help. It ain't going to change nothing. Give them some word. But we got to be willing to follow the path of God's word. As willing as we are. You know, the pastor talked about going across the Gulf. You got to trust those things. I used to trust that stuff so much on them yachts, I'd fall asleep. But then God tells me something and I want 10 people to come and verify it for me. You know, you used to hear people talk about, and we get an evangelist so-and-so to come, he could read us our mail. You don't need nobody to read your mail. You need somebody to tell you the truth about God's word. And that's all it takes, is the truth of God's word, and we need to apply it to our life and let it become real to us, and we can start walking it out every day. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you are so mindful of your people. God, I just want to say that I appreciate you. I love you. And I want to give you all the honor.